Our gospel for this Sunday in Easter comes to us from the gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. In this season after Easter, we tend to get a variety of different stories. Most of them are, you know, resurrection appearances. Here is one that is going to sound familiar to many. This is right after, you know, this is Easter afternoon, basically, or shortly after Easter morning. Now, on that same day, two of them, disciples, were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem that does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted them all the things about himself in all the scriptures." As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Seasons are changing. You can tell from the runny noses and everything else like that. A little warning, though. We have three people added to our prayer list today because one of them thought that she had allergies really, really bad and ended up giving her parents COVID. All right? So just remember, folks, it's still around. Just be careful. You know, be careful. Love your neighbor as yourself. Sharing is not caring when it comes to germs. But with all these season changes, you know, I don't know if you've been paying attention to the news. There's all kinds of stuff in the news. There's this really exciting joint venture that's being worked out between McCormick Seasonings, Penzi Spices, and the Department of Transportation. You know, it's really exciting, actually, because for once, the trains will run on time. They even have an app for the buses to tell you that the bus is coming. The AI running this thing is called Sage. It's brilliant. Now, before you start assaulting me and peppering me with bad comments, I'll just leave it at that. Just didn't want you to think I'd lost it. Well, or found it, as the case may be. Seasons change. Things happen. You know, sometimes we like to say, variety is the spice of life. When it comes to seasons and variety, when Jenny and I lived on Guam, after living there for a few years, Jenny was starting to look at me like, you know, I was born and raised in Wisconsin. In Guam, the weather at Christmas is the same as the weather as 4th of July, and Mother's Day and Labor Day, it's all the same. It was really rough, let me tell you. And she's like, I miss seasons. And there's actually a practical thing behind it, too, because both of us raised in the Midwest, we realized that it was hard to remember exactly when something's happened, because even if it wasn't specifically seasonal that something occurred, you kind of had this little tag in your brain going, was there snow on the ground? Were the leaves changing? I mean, there was something going on. Could you go outside in shorts, you know, for 2 weeks? You knew that was the case, you know, depending on how far north you were from. But, you know, so there's this little thing that was just kind of, it was, the variety helped make it easier in life. And we moved back to the Midwest, went to Chicago, and they had the worst winter since the blizzard of 79. My wife immediately went, yeah, on second thought. And actually, it's 9.5 years for me here. She's informed me I can't take a call north of Las Vegas anymore. You know, some change is good. I can drive to Mount Lemmon, you know, and that's, you know, that's kind of thing. Variety is lovely, though, at times. But also, let's face it, most of us want some sense of constancy. Most of us want some handhold on things that we have a better understanding of what's what. Most of us really don't like surprises. Most of us have our understanding of the way the world is and the way the world should work. Case in point, some of the snowbirds posting pictures of the snow that's still up there and going, gee, what's going on? You know, this is almost May. You know, what the heck? You know, we have our expectations. Even when change occurs, we have expectations about how and what to look for. We have our understandings of the way things are. We want those handholds. We grip very highly and hard on these handholds sometimes because it makes life easier. If you doubt me, change your morning routine. I dare you. Change it. No, better yet, try to. Or if you're living with someone, have them mess with your routine. Your immediate reaction is normally not favorable. And I see a couple of knowing smiles in the crowd going, oh yeah. So we live in this weird tension of variety tends to make things nicer, easier, or at least a little more exciting. But we really, really don't like surprises. And we like things. Let's face it, most of us would like things to be the same, the way things were. We want to hold on to so many things. The difficulty with holding on so tightly to things is it makes it darn near impossible to catch anything new. You know? It's kind of like, you know, the things that I grew up when I was taught about the fact that if your hands are always clenched in a fist, how can you ever extend a hand in friendship? Well, how often do some of us have our hands clenched on things and we wonder why some things don't ever change for the better? Or why we can't adapt or evolve? Why it's so hard? We have these disciples. Second week in a row, the women go to the tomb and come back and tell the guys, guess what? He is risen. And the response of them isn't, he is risen indeed, hallelujah. Their response is, really? Are you sure? You know, we got to check it for ourselves. Both times they do that. Now, let's be honest, let's be fair. In the culture of that time, the rule was you needed two witnesses to accuse and convict anyone of a crime by Jewish religious law, assuming that neither of the two were female. You could have 50 women accuse someone of something and it didn't count. So having two women or three women or four women or however many went to the tomb that morning go and testify that Jesus was risen, now the guys, because, well, that's the norm, that was the usual, that was the traditional, of course they're not going to believe them. 2,000 years later, how much has changed? Are we holding on to some things? But notice how these disciples on this road, there's no explanation of why they're going to this other town. Are they getting out of Dodge? Are they, you know, fleeing? Are they, realize they had to get back to work Monday morning and out of town? Whatever. We don't have a reason for this trip other than the fact that they're going on it. And along the way, as traveling companions do, they're whiling away the time talking. And a third enters the space. The phrase goes, their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Really? Sometimes we go, oh, that was God. That had to be God. God was blinding them to the presence of Jesus because there was something else going on. You know, I've dealt with too many people in grief to throw that on God. There is far too often when we are upset, sad, mad, whatever, that we cannot see the reality standing in front of us because we're still holding on to the thing that torqued us off before. We're basically, these disciples are basically walking to Emmaus this way before Garrett feels like he has to move the camera. I'll move back. Because they're more worried. How come you don't know what happened? And there were, I mean, notice, even in their testimony to this stranger. Well, it's 3 days. He said, the women went, tomb was empty, had a vision. Some of the boys went to check it out. They too didn't see him there. Huh. And here they are, very sad, walking to Emmaus. Jerusalem in the rearview mirror, but firmly in their sights. Missing entirely who was right there with them. Now, part of it is, do we really trust the testimony of the women? Part of it is also simply this. One of the most deeply held convictions that almost everybody has, and especially back then, was dead people stay dead. This is kind of the thing it goes. This is long before, you know, The Last of Us or, you know, Walking Dead or any of those kinds of things. There were no zombie flicks back then. Dead people were dead. That's it. You died, end of story. May your memory be a blessing. That's it. How can he get up and walk out of a tomb? Dead people don't do that. Good dead people don't do those kinds of things. Well, he was definitely dead. He was definitely good. But he got out of that tomb. And these guys couldn't see it. And here we are 2,000 years later. Do we see Jesus risen around us? Do we see new life? Do we see new opportunities to love and give and support? Do we see opportunities that call us away from the death of the cross and into the life that comes out of an empty tomb? Or do we still cling to things that were, well, back then? Because I knew that. I know that. That was familiar. But how much are we missing? Why is it that we can't see? Why won't we see? These guys on this road are perfect for us. Notice their biggest comment about Jesus. He was a mighty prophet. He was the one that was going to save all of Israel. He was the Messiah. And everything they had ever heard or learned about the Messiah was this was going to be this big, powerful, Davidic monarch who was going to restore the glory of Jerusalem and Israel. He was going to get rid of the Romans. He was going to restore proper worship to the temple. He was going to be the one who was going to make all things right. And he went up and died. What's up with that? But how often do we look for a Messiah in the powerful? How often do we look for a Lord that's going to do things for you to others? And notice that this guy, the religious authorities had him killed because he ate with sinners and tax collectors. He touched lepers. He accepted women into his proximity in public. He said, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them." He said, "Love your neighbor," and then showed that your neighbor wasn't just the person next to you, but it was also the Gentile two towns over. He even dared to tell us to love our enemies. What is it with this guy who's going to come and fix those people? He shows up and goes ahead and dies? But they're good examples for us because notice again, kind of like Thomas and Thomas's doubt from last week. They're like, but this is the third day. And the women went to the tomb and found it empty and had this vision of angels that said he was alive. And the guys went to the tomb and found it empty, but they didn't see him. Do you see the creative power of doubt and openness that's there? That grip on this is what the Messiah is going to be and do for me. And he screwed it up by getting killed by those people he was supposed to take to the cleaners. Starts opening a little bit. Opening enough that this guy who challenged them on the road was invited to have a meal with them and stay with them. And then the ultimate power and the proclamation of the cross and what Jesus was about was made known to them when he took bread, blessed it, and broke it. Because once again, they were reminded of last Thursday night. But also they were reminded of everything else he was about. If you want to see Jesus, are you going to go to the palace? Are you going to go to the temple? Are you going to go to the power? Or do you find him in brokenness? Healing. Feeding, caring, including, loving, restoring, forgiving. The breaking of the bread is a reminder not only of what happened to him on the cross, and the image he used on Maundy Thursday in that Last Supper, but also a reminder of where are you going to find Jesus and find that risen life? Where everything's perfect? Where at least people pretend it's perfect? Or are you going to see in that brokenness, and you see it in the second chance, you see it in the forgiveness, you see it in the expressions of mercy and love that makes things possible, in healing, in caring, in redemption. We look to the cross not because Jesus is still hung there. We look to the cross as a reminder of what was for all of us. What needs to be put to death? What needs to go away? What brokenness needs to go there so this new life may come? Truly, I tell you, just as you've done to the least of these, you've done it to me. May we find Jesus in the world, in those places where it hurts, including for ourselves, those places that need to change that we don't want to. Those things that we grip on too tightly, even if they're no longer healthy, helpful, or even right. May we be able to let go of the cross and open our hands like that tomb was emptied, so that we may receive new life and we may be a sign of that new life to others. Through our own scarred and battered hands, imperfect though they are, God has come alongside you and has shared the gift to you, and as Peter proclaimed, has given you the Holy Spirit. And so let's remind ourselves of that in the sloshing of the water of the font, the gifts of the promise of baptism in Jesus' name, these gifts given to you, if you repeat after me. I've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. I've been marked with the cross of Christ forever. I am Christ's. And so as you go upon your day, as you go along your way, may you know that Jesus travels with you. May you see Jesus on your way during your days. May you see Jesus in the lives that you meet and the lives that you touch. And may they know that love that saved you is for them as well. And remember that God loves you, and so do I. Amen.